chapter 1. You know, I was looking through my files this weekend, and I want you to know it's really good to be back here. I looked back and counted, and I've done almost 30 sermons here over the years. Not so many here lately because I've been in Viola for the past six, but it is good to be back. I always enjoy coming here. You know, it's that time of year. How many of you have made a New Year's resolution this year? A few. Not as many as I expected. I was looking at statistics, and about 45% of Americans make New Year's resolutions every year. And that's a pretty good number. The bad news is that only about 10% wind up keeping their resolution through the whole year. In fact, 25% don't make it through the first week before they break the resolution. And 33% don't make it through the first month. And so it's hard to change, isn't it? It is terribly hard to change. You know, we know intuitively that we got things we need to change in our life. We've got things that are not right or things that we could do better. And so we want to change, and yet we have trouble making these changes. And by the way, the number one resolution is trying to lose weight. So I can relate to that one. It's an ongoing struggle. It's very hard. The change is hard. John Wooden was a basketball coach at UCLA. I know most of you are probably familiar with him. He was a legend in college basketball. In fact, he had set some records that will probably never be broken, or if they will, it will be a long time, I would think. His teams won 88 consecutive games. That's an amazing streak. He won the NCAA title 10 out of 12 years. That's an amazing streak. So he's quite a legend in basketball. But he had words of advice for his players. He told them that you don't win at the game. He said you win at practice. What you do every day is what matters, because what you do in practice is revealed in the game. And those are some pretty wise words to think about. Cal Ripken Jr., baseball legend for the Baltimore Orioles, he said, you all heard the saying that practice makes perfect, and I want you to know that's a lie. Perfect practice makes perfect. And I agree with what he said. You see, we need to change, and we know we need to change. We're not going to make the change today, and we're going to be perfect all year long. I want you to know that. It takes practice. It takes daily practice to make that change and make it work. In James chapter 1, James is writing about testing. And the testing is for our benefit. We need to know that we're saved. So he tests our faith and he tests our love. God tests our love for Christ. And so the first 18 verses are all about trials, because the trials are simply tests. They're tests that reveal our hearts. Not to God, because God already knows our hearts. But it's for our benefit, so that we can see for ourselves who we are and what kind of person we are and what we need to change to become more like Christ. We think we know ourselves pretty well. And yet we get into a circumstance and we react. And many times we're surprised by the way we react. When you get down to verse 19 and through verse 25, which is what our focus is going to be, we're getting to see a test of a different sort, a test of daily practices. And the question God is asking us is, what is your relationship with me, really? And that's revealed in how we relate to God's Word. I want you to make a New Year's resolution. And I'm going to write it for you. So by the end of the day, hopefully, or by the end of the message, you'll understand why. But my resolution for you is that you will live your life by James 1:19 through 25. Because perfect practice makes perfect, and living by the Word will transform our lives. So let's look at James chapter 1, and we're going to begin by looking at verses 19 and 20. My dearly loved brothers, understand this. Everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for man's anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. Now, as you look at this, you're probably wondering about it a little bit. But I want you to know that this is not about communicating with other people. It's not about being a polite listener. It's not about being a thoughtful conversationist. It's not about keeping your temper in general, but rather it's how we allow God to communicate to us. The whole theme of this part of the Scripture is about God's Word, and how do we study it, and what does it really mean to us, and not just on Sunday. We typically come here on Sunday and we study God's Word, but it's what does it mean to us every time we read it and every time we hear it. My dearly loved brothers, understand this, everyone must be quick to hear. You know, I used to come home from a day of work, and I'd walk in the door, and I would usually announce, you know, I'm home. And the boys, when they were little, they don't do this anymore. But when they were little, and they'd hear my voice, they would come running, and they would jump in my arms, they'd wrap their arms around my legs, and they would start telling me the stories of their day and what had happened. They were glad to hear my voice. Thankfully, they don't jump in my arms anymore. But sometimes they didn't want to hear my voice. Sometimes things would get very quiet around the house. And I would wonder, what's going on? And I would call out for them. And they might not even answer then. You see, they knew that they were doing something they shouldn't do. And so they were avoiding me. They didn't want to hear my voice. They didn't want to face me. And isn't that the way we are many times? When our lives are right, we're excited to read the Bible. We're excited to open up His Word. We're excited to come to Sunday school and listen to the Sunday school teacher and to talk and discuss the Bible. And we're excited to come to worship and to hear God's Word preached. And we're excited because the Word is speaking to us and we're growing spiritually and we love our quiet times and all is good. But when sin enters into our life, suddenly we're not so excited about it. In fact, many times we'll set the Bible down and it'll just sit there on the end table and gather dust. And the reason is because we know what it's going to say. We know what it's going to tell us and we don't want to hear it. And so we avoid it. And if we continue to do that, our Sunday school attendance will begin to drop off. And we'll make excuses. Well, so-and-so's in that class, and they irritate me. Or they'll say, well, I just don't like the materials in this class. Or it's not meeting our needs. Then we might even get mad at the preacher because his sermons are always pointed right at us. And we would much prefer that they point to someone else every now and then. Folks, those are the absolutely wrong things to do. Instead of squelching God's Word, we need to open ourselves up to it even more. We need to be alert to what God's Word says and not just read the Word casually like we read a book of fiction or as something that we check off our to-do list. But we need to take our time and allow the Word to sink in. We need to be quick to hear and give the Holy Spirit time to speak to us. We need to be quick to hear and read the Scripture and meditate upon it. But not only that, we need to be slow to speak. Back in the early church, very few people had a Bible. And many of them couldn't read it anyway. So they had the oral tradition of teaching and Bible study. And their Bible studies were usually discussions. And so everyone participated and they would discuss the verses in depth. And James is telling them, be very deliberate in your speech. Give us some thought. Don't just jump to conclusions. Give us some thought, and that's good advice to us, whether we're reading the Bible on our own or whether we're in a Bible study. We need to consider God's Word. We need to examine what it's saying to us. And we need to give the Holy Spirit time to talk to us. You know, when I read this passage the first time, I thought it was just about good communication skills, and it is. I mean, this is good advice for everybody to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. I mean, if we all did that, we'd have a whole lot fewer relationship problems. But then I had a devotional one time that says, no, this is about studying God's Word. And I thought, really? And I thought about it, and I went and I checked one of my favorite commentary writers, and he said the same thing. And I began praying about it, and I thought, God, is this really what you're talking about? Checked another commentary writer, he said the same thing. I said, okay, I think you're right. And I began to see it because I listened. I listened to my devotional. I listened to the commentary writers. But I checked it out with the Holy Spirit, and I listened to Him, and I found that I was supposed to be taking Bible study more seriously than I was. And then we need to be slow to anger. Folks, when we're having a Bible study, and somebody has a different opinion on what the Scripture says, let's not get angry about that. Let's not get angry about that at all. Just because people don't agree with you, we need to listen and be slow to speak because they may be right and you may be wrong. However, the most difficult one is when we have a sin in our life and we are confronted with that by the Holy Spirit. And rather than reacting and saying, "You're right, God, I need to change this," we react by getting angry. We need to let the Word cleanse us. We need to apply the truths of God's Word to our life. Jerry Bridges is an author. I've been reading some of his books and devotionals over the last few years. And he had a story that I read a while back about a guest preacher that came to his church. And this guest preacher delivered a message, and the next day this woman shows up in Jerry's office, and she was mad. And she said, "I couldn't believe what he said. He said, if I'm not sharing my faith, I'm a backslidden Christian already." And she just laid into him and told him, "I just can't believe this guy would say that he'd make that kind of accusation, that just because I haven't shared my faith and I'm a backslidden Christian." And she went on and on for a while, and finally she began to quiet down, and she said, "You don't agree with him, do you?" And he said, "Yeah, actually I do." And she was silent for a second, then he looked her in the eye and he said, "Is there someone that God's been leading you to share your faith with that you haven't yet?" And she started to cry. That was the problem. She was being disobedient to what God had already told her to do. She got angry rather than letting God's Word convict and change her and convince her to do what He wanted her to do. These are powerful words for us. To be quick to hear. We need to be anxious to hear God speak, to be slow to speak, to consider carefully what He is telling us, and to be slow to anger, but let the Word do its work in us. Let's go on down to verse 21. "Therefore, ridding yourselves of all moral filth and evil excess, humbly receive the implanted Word, which is able to save you." So now we're talking about receiving God's Word. This is another one of those tests, and it's about applying God's Word to our life. But first, we need to rid ourselves of some sins. Because sin partially blocks our ability to hear God. It interferes with our relationship with God, so it becomes difficult to hear His voice, but only partially, because if we're in God's Word, He's going to speak to us loud and clear about this sin that's causing the problem. But we need to get rid of moral filth. Now the Greek here, it calls this moral decay. And it's often used, this word decay is often used to describe the crud that you wind up in your ears. Doesn't that sound kind of gross? You know, the wax. I'm not talking about just a dirty ear, but I mean a grungy ear. And you've probably seen some people with grungy ears. It's just really gross. And that really describes the sin in our lives. It's gross. And it interferes with our ability to hear God. So we need good personal hygiene to clean our ears. We need good spiritual hygiene to keep our hearts clean as well. And we also need to get rid of evil excesses, and that's the intentional sins. Not just to slip into temptation, but those intentional sins where we think, you know, I just can't wait to share this bit of good news. This gossip, this is juicy stuff, I can't wait to share it. Or, you know, that business trip I'm going on, I'll be able to watch some of those channels on TV that I won't watch at home. Or maybe, well, I want that promotion, and so I'm gonna do a little kissing up and see if I can get that promotion. All sins that are intentional, and they have no place in our hearts, and they prevent us from hearing God's directions. So we have to get rid of them so that we can humbly receive the implanted Word. Humility is required when we are going to hear God's Word. All knowledge comes from God. He is the one that gives us understanding through the Holy Spirit. We are just simply vessels to receive the Word. Why on earth do we get puffed up and proud about all the Bible knowledge we have? Why do we get all puffed up and proud because of the wisdom we have? It's all what God has given us. It has nothing to do with what we have within ourselves. It's all Him. This is just like a library. You don't see a library that's proud because it has all these books in it. It's not proud because it didn't write the books. It didn't buy the books. It didn't file the books. All it did was house the books, and we're the same way. All wisdom, all knowledge comes from God. We have no reason to be proud of what we know. We just need to allow God's Word to work in us, to build us up, build up within us that knowledge and wisdom that we need. So we get that implanted Word within us. And when it's implanted within us, it needs to find fertile soil in our heart so that it will continue to grow and continue to produce fruit in our life, and we'll continue to receive it. So to receive God's Word, we need to rid ourselves of moral filth and intentional sins and humbly receive it in our hearts. And then verses 22 through 24, "But be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because if anyone is a hearer of the Word, not a doer, he is like a man looking at his own face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, and right away forgets what kind of man he was." James is describing someone who listens to the Word, but doesn't do anything with it. And when he talks about to be a doer, this isn't the normal word for the word be, but it means to come into existence. And so the Word needs to come into existence into our lives so that we hear the Word and we internalize it into our hearts, and then it begins to show up through the actions, through the way we live our life. J. Vernon McGee says leather-bound Bibles need shoe leather to go with it, and that's a pretty nice way to say it. God's Word requires action to come from it. God's Word is unlike any other book. Some books will teach you knowledge. Some may try to convince you to make changes in your life. They'll try to motivate you, but they are powerless. They can't really do much, can't give you much change at all. But God's Word. God's Word is powerful because it is His Word. And only that, but He has given us a Spirit to show us how to apply it to our lives so that it changes the way we think and the way we feel and the way we act. If we are hearers only, we deceive ourselves. You know, you look at the description He gives here in verses 23 and 24 of a man looking at his face in a mirror and walking away and immediately forgetting what he looks like. It reminds me of the story of a hillbilly in Tennessee who's out wandering around one day, and he finds this hand mirror. And he picks it up and he looks into it and he's shocked. There's a picture of his daddy. And so he cherishes this picture of his daddy, and he goes home and he hides the mirror in his home. Well, his wife is cleaning one day and she finds this mirror. And she picks it up and looks at it and says, "That must be the old hag the guy's running around with." And so she threw it in the fireplace. That's not too unlike we can be. The Bible reflects our own character back to us. Often we read it and then we ignore what it's telling us. And we think to ourselves, "Oh, so-and-so should read that one." We want to apply it to other people, but we don't want to apply it to our own lives. And so we are deceived. We believe that we are better than we really are. We assume we're okay with the Lord, that we're doing everything that He tells us to do. And the fact is, we are never completely where we should be, because we are not yet transformed completely into the image of Christ, which is the Holy Spirit's goal. And so now we have this test complete. And we need to start thinking about how it applies to us. Are we listening to the Word? Are we receiving the Word into our hearts? Are we doing what God's Word says? Well, what happens if we pass this test? Let's look at verse 25. "But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres in it and is not forgetful here, but a doer who acts, this person will be blessed in what he does." Starts with a conditional if. If we do all the things that we've just talked about, if we look intently into the Word, and follow what all those prior verses talked about, listening to the Word, receiving it into our hearts, and doing what it says. If we're persevering, so it's not just a one-day change, but it's continuing on. If we're not forgetful, if we remember who we were and where we are now, and we know that God is going to continue to change us if we meditate on it daily and continue to grow, then we have a promise. Now pay attention here, because this is a great promise. We don't want to miss it. We'll be blessed. Now, blessing is God's rewards for us. But this is a good blessing, a double blessing actually, because it's not just for a future in heaven, although their blessings will follow up there too. But we receive these blessings here and now. We're going to receive them here and now. We'll be blessed by what we do. Do you want freedom from sin? Do you have one of those sins that's difficult for you to overcome? Look it up in the Bible. Look up what God says about that sin. Meditate on it. Pray over it. And see what happens. Do what God is telling you to do in regard to that sin. It'll be amazing. You want a great marriage? Look up in the Word what God tells the husbands and wives to do. Look it up and study it and internalize it and do what it says. You want to be a good parent? There's great parenting advice in God's Word. Study it. Memorize it. Internalize it. Do it. This Bible is a practical how-to book of living. Everything we need to know about life, we have the instructions right here. If we just open it, read it, receive it, and do it. This isn't rocket science. You can't be what God wants you to be by a casual reading of the Word. We need to do it. And we need to do it all. When you see something that God says, don't question or don't put it off and say, oh, that's not really that important. Or that must be for somebody else. Do what it says. Don't pick and choose. This isn't a buffet that you get to pick and choose what you want to eat. The Holy Spirit will tell you what you need. And He will apply it. Do it all. But there's one more thing. And I think this is way cool. This is really neat. You know those things you're afraid to do? Those things that God may have been tickling your mind with and you think, oh, maybe God's leading me to do that, but I can't do that. Maybe you're afraid to apologize to someone because of a relationship issue. You're afraid of that thing. Well, folks, if you do what God's Word tells you to do, you're going to have a guilt-free conscience. And not only that, but likely the relationship problem is going to be fixed and it's going to be better than it ever was. You'll be blessed by it. Maybe you're afraid to tithe. You're going to be blessed by tithing. You will find that the discipline to tithe runs into other areas of your life, and you're going to have discipline in areas of your life that you struggled for years. You're going to be blessed by doing what God has told you to do. Your trust in God will grow as you see Him meeting your needs in spite of giving this money away. You'll be amazed. Maybe you're afraid to share your faith. Folks, you'll be blessed if you do. You will never know true joy until you have led someone to Christ. Until you have experienced the joy of leading someone to Christ. And that person is going to remember you forever. Forever. There's a guy in Sioux City that I witnessed to for years and was getting nowhere. And he just argued with me more than anything. And finally one day I invited him to Promise Keepers. And he went with me. He's still emailing me every now and then, thanking me for taking him to Promise Keepers. You think that isn't a special blessing? Maybe God is leading you to teach Sunday school, and I'm not a teacher. You're afraid to step out into that. Folks, you'll be blessed by it. First of all, you'll learn more of God's Word than you ever would just being a member of the class, because you're going to study it deep enough that you'll be able to answer other people's questions. But your Sunday school members are going to love you to death. You'll be blessed by that. You see, the things we're afraid to do are the things that will bless us the most when we do them. If you're afraid to, you fill in the blank. Whatever God has talked to you about doing, I want you to know you'll be blessed by that thing. And you can believe God's promises. God's Word is powerful. It's powerful. It can change lives. Years ago, in a Moscow theater, one of their famous Russian movie actors, Alexander, and I'm not going to try to pronounce his last name, starts with an R. He was on stage. And the play called for him to pick up a Bible and read two verses from the Sermon on the Mount. And then he was to cry out, "Give me my tuxedo and top hat," and he would walk off the stage. So he gets there. He picks up the Bible. He reads those two verses. And the truth of what he read hit him. And he forgot all about the play. And he continued to read. And the other actors began trying to get his attention and to get him moving on so that they could continue the play. And he was totally ignoring them. And then in a loud voice, he cried out, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And he was saved. This was in Russia in the days when the Bible was banned. Have we forgotten the power of Scripture? A Russian actor saved in the middle of a play, reading a book that was supposed to be banned. For the first time in his life, he started reading two verses. And God used those two verses to save him. He listened to God's Word. He received it into his heart and he did what the Bible told him to do. And he was saved. The power of God's Word is great. Not just the power to salvation, as if that's just, but not just that, but in everyday life, the power to really live is in God's Word. If we just listen to it, if we're quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger, if we will receive it into our hearts and let it take root and produce fruit in our lives, if we'll just be doers of the Word, putting into practice what we have read, and we'll receive the blessings as we obey. Folks, how are you doing on this test? Are you excited to hear the Father's voice? Or are you fearfully hiding from Him? Are you applying what you hear? Or are you thinking about how the sermon or the message or God's Word could apply to someone else? Are you doers of the Word? Or are you walking away, forgetting shortly what you read? Perfect practice makes perfect. Today's the day to become a doer of the Word, to let God's Word change our lives. And folks, I am convinced that if we did this, if we as a congregation here would commit ourselves to spend time every day in God's Word, listening to God's Word, receiving it into our hearts, doing what it tells us, we will be blessed. But the whole community will be blessed because we will have an impact on this town like you have never seen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the power of your Word. We thank you for the power that two verses can change a Russian actor's life. We thank you, Lord, that your Word gives us all the wisdom we need in this life. And we thank you, Lord, that you have given us your Word, that we can read it and study it ourselves, that your Spirit is there to guide us and help us understand and apply it. Lord, I pray today that you'll be with us all, and that tomorrow and the next day, Lord, I pray that your Spirit will remind us what we heard today. That we won't be like the man looking in a mirror and forgetting what he saw. That we will read your Word faithfully. Lord, I pray that your Spirit will guide us into understanding the truths of your Word. That we will be changed. And that as we do it, Lord, we'll hold on to that promise. You promised that it will bless us. And we trust you in that, Lord. We thank you for your Word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to ask Bob to come. And as we have our time of invitation, if God has spoken to you, this is your time. You can come and speak to Bob.